week 8 of the 2022 college football season. This is the We Hate Your Team podcast. I'm Kelly Ford. With me, as always, is my co-host, Zach King. Kinger, week 7 was incredible. How are we doing this week?
Yeah, going to be tough to follow up here week 8. I'm good, man. Excited. We have some really good games this weekend. I got to be honest, I'm a little disappointed in the pick 'em this week. I think they could have done a little bit better. There's good football across the board, but regardless, we got some good games to debate. Still a lot of movement in these conference races.
King, when you texted me that earlier today, the day of recording Tuesday, and you said, man, I'm not sure about some of these games, I went ahead and after I got home from work, did a quick projection on the game scores for this week's games. I did all of them. We are picking, by my numbers, the top 5 games this week, so that is good. But outside the top 5, King, we do have number 11, number 14, number 15, number 20, and number 26. So we have the top 5, and then there's kind of 5 that you're like, and I think we can all guess what those are as we get into here, which ones they're doing. But we do have the top 5, King, so that is exciting. And they're conference games, as you said, gonna tell us a lot.
That's good to know. There's no real complaints. There's still a lot of good games, I said, but some of these bottom halves, I don't know. I think it'd be a little bit more intriguing for some of the listeners, but regardless, we're going to make this work just fine.
Yep, absolutely. You're right, King. And joining us today is a very special guest, someone I'm very excited to have on. He's been on many other podcasts that I like to listen to as well. We have with us Bill, known on Twitter as @CFBData. Bill, thanks for joining the show.
Hey, fellas. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be on.
Absolutely, Bill. We're so excited to have you. Like I said, you're someone that I've been following on Twitter for a very long time, someone who has a very useful website, collegefootballdata.com. For those of us out there who like to dabble in college football analytics, it is absolutely invaluable to us. So, Bill, if you wouldn't mind, just take a minute or two, share with our listeners a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your website. How'd you get started in this space? What made you want to get going in this space? Just the floor is yours. Take it away.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's kind of funny. I kind of stumbled into all this. I kind of stumbled into the world of analytics without really intending to. You know, around the mid-aughts, I think it was like mid-teens, 2015, 2016, I was just a lifelong diehard Michigan fan early in the Harbaugh era with a software engineering background, just looking for some kind of resources out there to build. I wanted to build something like some kind of, you know, web app or mobile app, or I didn't really have any idea. I just wanted to do something around college football because anybody that knows me, like my two biggest interests are technology and programming and software engineering and then college football. So kind of like trying to get those two things intertwined. And I was very frustrated just at the lack of resources out there for anybody who wanted to like really build anything sports related, particularly with college football. You know, I had noted that a few years before, ESPN actually had a public API across all the sports that they offered that they had made available, but they had shut it down a couple years prior, which is really disappointing. So, you know, I went to the internet. I went to, you know, my number one source for information when I'm looking for an answer to a question, which is Reddit, just trying to figure out like, hey, yeah, like where can I, you know, like, does anybody have any ideas or of where to get like any kind of college football data to build something with? And I stumbled upon this subreddit, RCFB analysis, which if you're on Reddit, definitely check it out. Great community, could use a lot more activity. But yeah, I was on there and it was just a bunch of people, you know, really informally just sharing data, like sharing CSVs and spreadsheets that were on Dropboxes or Google Drives or what have you. I think like one guy had written like a play-by-play scraper that, you know, he was sharing with people to like run every year, which of course, if you don't have the expertise to run a scraper, especially in whatever language, I don't even know what language she was using, but yeah, like, I mean, it you know, just a really high bar for entry. So, you know, I started, you know, just writing some programs myself to grab some of this data from all these, you know, various sources. You know, I shared it on the subreddit, got a lot of traction, you know, decided to build a, my first application was, you know, a scraper that would scrape, you know, play-by-play data, box score data, and upload it to a Google Drive as soon as games got completed. And then, you know, that would get shared with people on Reddit or whatever. If you had the link to the public Google Drive, you could get it. But that got to be pretty cumbersome. It was a really good start, but difficult to maintain. So, you know, like, hey, screw it. There's no college football data APIs out there. I might as well just go ahead and build it myself. So You know, this is around, I think I want to say 2018 was when the you know, that summer is when I came out with the API. Very lucky that the domain name College Football Data, very creative, I know, happened to be available. So I picked that up, released the API, you know, to, you know, share play-by-play box score data, you know. Then over the years, I've just been adding and adding and adding things onto that. I think like later that same season added a website component, which, you know, you guys are familiar, or you're familiar with, Kelly, you know, and really my main mission has been, you know, just to try to make all this stuff as accessible as possible, you know. I mean, and not just for analytics. I think, you know, I mentioned I kind of stumbled into the analytics. I wasn't really looking to get into analytics, but I think that's a part that gets overlooked. Like, it's not, you know, I mean, the resources available, collegefootballdata.com, its API, you know, they're not necessarily just for analytics. Like, if you're looking to build a web app, like, I've got people who are building, you know, iOS and Android apps and other types of apps and other types of web apps, you know, that consume from me. So, I mean, there's really like no limitation to the things you can build. Although obviously analytics is the big one. And like I said, I kind of just stumbled into this world of analytics. You know, I saw a lot of, you know, a lot of like these advanced metrics and stats that, you know, people like Bill Connolly, Brian Fermo and others, you know, are releasing. And, you know, the big one being like EPA, which is kind of blown up, kind of crazy how that metric's blown up. But people asking for metrics like that. And so it kind of forced me to be like, okay, let's see what I can do. Like, those are kind of proprietary to what Bill Connolly puts out or whoever else puts out. So, you know, what can I do to gather? So I got into a lot of machine learning and artificial intelligence and building models for, you know, early EPA models, you know, things for, you know, like win probability. And then, you know, kind of more straightforward metrics like success rates, line yards, things like that. So, you know, just looking to make all that available. Talking quite a bit here. I can go on and on about the site.
Bill, absolutely. It's incredible. And you're speaking my language, man. All these things you're saying, some of these things I've run into myself, tried to find information on, tried to do things on, data scraping, finding all of the pieces that I need to put into my model that I've created, again, off the backs of Bill Connolly, Brian Fermo, people that have come before us, now adding our own twist, putting in our new ingredients, trying to make it even better and more predictive, seeing what works and what doesn't. Bill, your website is just incredible. For those of you who haven't gone on it yet, collegefootballdata.com, he's got everything you could want on there. We've got box scores for after games. You've got team pages. You've got all sorts of data, everything that Bill talked about there. And as he said, it's not just for the analytics inclined folks. King, I was looking at you there as Bill was talking. I think your eyes rolled back in your head at one point or another. And I was just like, oh boy, we're losing King over there, I think. King, you all right?
Oh, I'm doing just fine. Hey, I love to hear about it. And these burning questions, do I know what he's talking about all the way? No, absolutely not. But still, very interesting to learn about. And you said it, his website's pretty incredible. I mean, Bill, watching these games, you said you were a Michigan fan. Michigan was obviously the first team you probably dove into. Is that a fair assessment? Is that how kind of everything started? What was the, you know, initial burning question, or was there an initial area of the game that you wanted to focus on to start to use analytics to see if you could project or predict anything out of these games? What was really the focus area?
You know what? I don't even know if there's a particular focus area. I think it was just, you know, I grew up in the 90s, Michigan, you know, winning a national championship, beating the crap out of Ohio State every year, and then suffered through the aughts with Ohio State under Tressel, and then having to deal with Michigan under, you know, Hoke, late Carr, Brady Hoke, and Rich Rod. And then, you know, finally, you know, just... Yeah. And then finally, like being excited about like Michigan again, you know, suffering for so long, and, you know, Harbaugh gets hired. He's kind of like that light at the end of the tunnel. Finally realized it last year, right, with a college football playoff berth and the Big Ten championship and the long awaited win over the Buckeyes. But yeah, I mean, it was just like that initial, like his hiring, just the initial spark and the excitement to like want to, I don't know, just build something, really anything.
The first time I think I ever interacted with you, Bill, in a DM, I mean, we were going back and forth about something. I noticed you were from Cincinnati, or you were based in Cincinnati, at least at the time. And I made the assumption that this means Bill is an Ohio State fan, right? I mean, he lives in Ohio. And so I'm like, Oh, yeah. So, like, by the way, Ohio State, he goes, oh, yeah, no, I'm a Michigan fan. And I was like, oh, do I tell him? Do I tell him? And I think at that point is when I told him, yeah, no, I'm Ohio State. And we took some time off after that, but we're back now. It's all good. We've had some really good games recently. The rivalry back on, of course, with Michigan getting that resounding win last year.
I mean,
it never went anywhere.
I mean,
on a national stage.
I mean, how many days has it been since Ohio State beat Michigan in the sport of football?
Oh, my gosh.
I think we're at like 1,100 or something like that.
Are we counting 1,200?
Are we counting 2020 when Michigan dunked them? Are we counting that?
All right, let's not get into that.
Okay, all right, yeah, we're gonna get off the rails.
We'll get to that. But no, I mean, I'm used to it, man. I've lived, you know, I was born up, you know, in Michigan, but I've been in Ohio basically since I was 6 years old, like literally all around the state of Ohio. I lived in, you know, my formative years were in Toledo, you know, the battleground of the rivalry.
Yeah.
Like I remember going to school, it was like 50-50 Michigan, Ohio State, and then you had the odd Ducks that were Notre Dame fans. But I mean, it was just so intense. You know, then later years, I grew up in, you know, at, you know, high school years in around Sandusky, Ohio area. And then, you know, I ended up going to college at the University of Dayton, who doesn't really have a football team. I mean, they do, but they're not, you know, they're non-scholarship FCS. And then, you know, ended up marrying a Cincinnati girl and settling down here. I will say the Ohio State fans down here are like nothing like their counterparts in Toledo, Sandusky, other parts of the state I've been in. They're much more mellow.
Here's what I will say. I feel bad for people that live in Ohio that are not Ohio State fans because, yes, the Ohio State fan base is absolutely obnoxious. I would call myself one of the more reasonable and rational Ohio State fans. Every fan base has them. Ohio State is no exception. Some of them are simply unbearable. I will admit that readily. King, you look like you want to jump in on that.
Kelly, that was quick to call yourself a rational Ohio State fan. I don't know if a lot of people would agree with that out there.
No,
I'm just busting you, man.
I was gonna say, man,
you're pretty fair about your team. I will say that.
Okay, all right. Well, Bill, one more question for you on the website. Long term here, because it has grown, I mean, exponentially since you launched it just a couple years ago now, and all the features that you've added, everything you've done to keep up. Where do you see this going? Do you have a roadmap? Do you have a plan? Or is it just things like, hey, EPA is a big thing now, let's incorporate it? Do you have like a vision in your mind for what you want this website to be? Or is it really just, I'm just taking things as they come and we're just building on it as we go, which is totally fine. I'm just curious. What's the next 5 years look like for you?
You know, I have a lot of things that I want to do. Here's sort of how things go for me. Like I get to the end of the season and I'm like, okay, man, it's time to take a break. Maybe focus on some other projects, you know, other personal projects I got
it's
going on.
It's exhausting like at the end of the football season. For those of us who are doing it is. Like this, if you're just betting, I mean,
yes.
Right, it's exhausting. You need to take a break.
Oh, yeah, man. So, like, I'll get to the end, you know, and I need a break. And and a lot of my other projects are college football related, too. Like, I've run a few, you know, college football themed, like, games and things like that in the offseason. You know, I'm on the board of directors for RCFB, Reddit College Football Nonprofit. So, I mean, I've got other things, but yeah, obviously it's like focus on some other things. And then I always have these really big, ambitious plans of things that I want to do every offseason. And then I get to about July and it's like, okay, holy crap, season kicks off in about a month. I'm probably not going to make a lot of headway in these things I want to do, but, you know, there's a bunch of quality of life things I need to do, maybe add one or two things in there, you know. So I usually have like a really productive few weeks leading into the season. You know, I do have a, I don't know, how do you say, is it Patreon?
Yeah.
Patreon?
Yeah, I think Patreon.
I call it Patreon. I have a Patreon, so I mean, I always, you know, people always have feature requests for me. I mean, I take feature requests whether you subscribe to me or not, but you know, I always try to make a good faith effort, you know, especially if it's something that's reasonable and easy and quick, get those in. But yeah, I'll usually get like a couple weeks into the season and then I'm just like burnt out. Like, so right now, like I'm just kind of in coast it mode. Like I don't know how you guys do like on Twitter, because I'll start like in that productive period in July, like, okay, man, I need to like engage in Twitter this year, you know, start posting some charts and stuff like that. And then like, it'll last like a week into the season. I'll be like, man, I've had enough Twitter for the season. You know, I guess it's just the introvert in me. I just, you know, it carries over the social media aspect.
I wouldn't disagree, Bill. I'm right there with you. I'll tell you what I do is almost every single night from 11-ish till 2-ish in the morning, I'm working on updates, I'm doing different things, I'm making graphics, and then I just schedule tweets or set reminders in my phone to hit send on the tweets as we go through the day and see if that gains any traction. But I'm with you. It's exhausting trying to keep up a social media schedule. It's exhausting week to week updating your ratings, your website, whatever it is. It's a lot, but it's a labor of love for sure.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it's not, and you know, I would also add to this, when I first started the site and everything, I had one kid with a second on the way. I had my third kid this past off season, so now I'm like three kids in. So it's like, you know, two kids in, it was like, okay, man, but like the third kid, I mean, you go to like 2 to 3 kids, it's a crazy jump. Anyone that's ever made the jump, I'm discovering. So yeah, that's wrecked a lot of my plans this off season.
Oh my god!
But yeah, I mean, yeah, but yeah, I mean, like as far as big picture, a lot of my things, you know, adding new stuff, I want to make things more accessible. Things I should probably mention, you know, it's got, you know, the main bread and butter is the API. So any programming language that, if you know programming language, if you don't, I highly recommend Python. But if you don't, but any programming language, you know, API, you can access Git. There's like 50 or 60 different data sets, endpoints. I've got a few official libraries that I put out that anytime the API updates, the libraries auto-update and auto-publish. So if you program in Python or JavaScript or C#, you know, check those out. But I mean, I also added a blog a season or two ago. So, you know, if you're somebody who doesn't know how to code or program at all and you're interested, particularly getting into analytics and some coding on analytics, a lot of tutorials on the blog. I try to get some guest posters in there as well, so I get a lot of different perspectives.
I was reading up on how to code earlier tonight on the site. You got some, it's definitely, he's got some good stuff on there. That's, you know,
thanks,
maybe,
man. Yeah.
Maybe in the future, Kelly, maybe that's in my repertoire.
2023, King's going to be the analytics guru on We Hate Your Team.
Yeah.
I'm going to learn to code. That's going to be the off-season project.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, and then like the website itself was initially designed, like if you don't know how to code, anything that's available on the API, you can get on the website. You can go, there's a point and click, fill in your criteria, and you can get a CSV spreadsheet to download. It's a little bit more cumbersome than coding. I get people that reach out to, I get so many questions. It's kind of insane. Like, hey, how do I access the API using Excel? And I'm like, oh man, I don't even know. Like, you can do it. I don't have the tools on hand to do that. So I try my best to help them. But yeah, it's like, if you want to make this stuff really easy, like learn some, you know, you can learn some really basic like Python code and do a lot of damage with this kind of stuff.
Bill, that is awesome. You can find him on Twitter at @CFB_data. You can find him online, collegefootballdata.com. Absolutely great stuff, Bill. We are so excited to have you on. You guys ready to put all this knowledge to the test and pick a couple games?
Let's pick some games, Kelly.
All right. Well, Bill, actually, we're going to start with you, man, because our very first game, and it's an American showdown, but it's your hometown team. We got Cincinnati going on the road to SMU. King, what's Vegas think about this game? And then, Bill, let's come to you for an analysis and a pick, confidence style.
Cincinnati is a 3-point favorite. Over-under is 60.
Yeah, I mean, I'm for better or worse, I'm going to use the model I've been using this season in the where I run a computer pick'em contest. It's been doing decently. My model thinks this is going to be a lot closer than the spread indicates. Like, in fact, I've got Cincinnati winning by 1/100th of a point, which is insane. So, yeah, I'll go with the hometown team there. Cincinnati confidence point, 2 confidence points.
All right. I'm going to follow that up, Bill, because I'm with you. I think this is going to be a much closer game. I've got it. I don't have it as quite as close as you, but I like Cincinnati by half a point, rounded to the nearest half point. I do like Cincinnati this game by half a point. So I'm taking Cincinnati for 1. I think they are the better team. They're going on the road, which, of course, makes a difference. But I've got Cincinnati as the number 35 power-rated team in the country. Most deserving ranking, they are number 33. They're 5-1. They play in the American, so you're not going to get a whole lot of strength of schedule points there, if you will. But I do think this is a really good Cincinnati team. SMU number 45 in the power ratings. Give me Cincinnati. I'm taking them for 1 confidence point. King, you riding with us or you taking the ponies?
I'm riding with you guys. And quietly, Cincinnati, nice season. It really hasn't been the prettiest. They lost week 1 at Arkansas, but they're riding a 5-game win streak. This is a game they cannot overlook. They got UCF on the horizon next week on the road in the bounce house. You know, SMU isn't a very good team, but they can put up some points. And Cincinnati defense, not quite as good as last year, not at that elite level, but still a top 20 total defense. They're going to have to play some. They're going to have to play well this week. Mordecai can sling it around a little bit, but ultimately I think Cincinnati's a better team. I like Ben Bryant, like what he's been doing as a replacement for Ridder. So give me Cincinnati with 4 confidence points.
All right, to recap this one, we are all taking the Bearcats. Kinger, the most confident, with 4. Bill taking them for 2. I am on Cincinnati for 1. Our next game, guys, is the lowest quality game in my game scores coming into this week that we're going to pick on the show tonight. It's in the MAC. We've got Toledo. Bill talked about Toledo earlier, living there, and the rabid Ohio State-Michigan rivalry going on the road to Buffalo. Toledo's first in the MAC West at 3-0. Buffalo's first in the MAC East at 3-0. So this is a very big game in the MAC. It might not resonate nationally, but very big for the Mid-American Conference. Kinger, what's Vegas think about this?
Toledo's a 7-point favorite on the road, over under 57.5.
All right, so Toledo being a 7-point favorite. I do like Toledo in this game. I don't like them by that much. Guys, these are two average to below average teams by my power ratings. Toledo number 65, dead center of FBS. Buffalo number 89, so really not a very good Buffalo team. I'm taking Toledo in this game. My numbers like them by 3.5. Give me Toledo for 4 confidence points, King.
I'm a little more confident on Toledo this week than you are, Kelly, and I, just mainly because I think this offense is better than what Buffalo is going to put on the field. I mean, they got 4 guys with over 50 rushing attempts this year. They're going to try and pound the rock. They're 22nd nationally, over 38 points a game. They score a lot, and Daquan Finn, he's a true dual threat quarterback, leads them in throwing and or passing and rushing. Buffalo been susceptible on the defensive side of the ball, so I'm taking Toledo. They were my MAC pick this week. This year, I think they keep rolling on the road this week, so give me Toledo with 8 confidence points.
Bill, what say you?
Hey, man, low quality matchup. I mean, I love me some Maction. I mean, what Midwestern boy wouldn't? I mean, it might not be a midweek Maction, but Maction nonetheless. You know, you said both these teams are on a tear through the MAC right now, but yeah, I'm liking Toledo for this. I'm pretty much spot on with you, Kelly. You said you had them for 3.5. I have them 3.6. But that said, I foresee a lot of other close matchups this week, so I'm going to be putting a whole 8 confidence points on this one.
I like that our models are aligned there, Bill. I'm rounding. When I say what my model likes them, I'm rounding to the nearest half point. I'm looking here. 3.7 is what I like them by. So just like you there, 3.6. So also, Bill, I got to say, nothing against Maction, right? Like, I did my grad school at Ohio University. I worked a lot of games in Athens, Ohio on Tuesdays and Wednesday nights in November. It is not warm at 7, 8 p.m. in Athens, Ohio in November. So definitely love me some Maction, but in terms of a national scale, this game just doesn't quite resonate at the same level for me. So that's all I was saying there with that one. But to recap...
Oh, no, I got you. I know what you're saying.
to recap this one, we are all on Toledo. Kinger and Bill taking the Rockets for 8. I'm taking Toledo for 4. Kinger, we'll start with you on this one. It is a big-time SEC West matchup. Aren't they all big in that division? We've got Ole Miss going on the road to LSU, King. What's Vegas think, and what do you think about this game?
LSU's a 2-point favorite at home, over under 66. Kelly, you said it. This is a big weekend for both these teams. Both these guys have Bama looming on the horizon, particularly LSU. They take care of business this week. They get a bye week ahead of them for a major SEC West showdown next weekend. And LSU, the more I watch it, I mean, the more I like Jaden Daniels. He's leading the team again in passing and rushing, and he's taking care of the ball this year, which is something he did not do very well at Arizona State. Their LSU defense struggled at times, but their corner, Mekhi Garner, is a lockdown. It's all about stopping the run this week for LSU. They got to put the ball in Jackson Dart's hands. The last time Ole Miss was 7-0 was back in 2014. They lost in week 8 to who you guys might guess, LSU. Not this year, though. I'm taking Ole Miss. I think they're going to find a way to get it done on the road, but I'm only taking them with 1 confidence point.
Can you remember that 2014 season? This was first year of the college football playoff. It was the first week that the college football playoff selection committee had their rankings. Ole Miss showed up in the top 4 in that original ranking. I believe it was the very next week that they went down to LSU, as you just mentioned. So very interesting game for sure. Bill, what do you think about this one?
Yeah, you know what? I'm with you. I'm with you, Kinger. Or at least my model is. Vegas has LSU favored. I have Ole Miss winning by a point. My model and myself are both fully in on the lane train, so I'll put that at 4 confidence points.
All right, I'm going to join you guys there. I have this as the number two game of the week, guys. I'm going to take Ole Miss. I'm going to take them for 2 confidence points. I like them with about a 52% win probability. But this is going to be a very, very close game. I've got Ole Miss as the number 9 power-rated team in the country, LSU number 17. In terms of most deserving rankings, I have Ole Miss number 10. So they are the lowest of the undefeated teams in my most deserving, meaning it has been, of all the teams that are undefeated, plus Alabama, who's ahead of them, it has been least impressive, their record to this point, given the schedule that they've played relative to all the other undefeated teams. That does not mean I don't think Ole Miss is a good team. I absolutely do. LSU hanging out at number 20 in my most deserving rankings. Ole Miss, a 2% chance to finish this year 12-0. We talked about their upcoming games at Texas A&M, home to Alabama, at Arkansas. It is absolutely brutal in the SEC West, but they've done it to this point. I am very much looking forward to this game. Like I said, give me Ole Miss, and I'm taking them for 2. So to recap this one, we are all on Ole Miss. That's 3 games, all three that we agree on across the board. Bill taking the Rebels for 4. I'm on Ole Miss for 2. Kinger for 1. Bill, we'll start with you on this one. It's an absolutely huge game in the Pac-12. It's always going to be when it involves one of the top 4 teams out there here in 2022. We have UCLA going on the road to Oregon, the return of Chip Kelly to Autzen Stadium. King, what's Vegas think about this? And then, Bill, I want to know, what's the model say, UCLA at Oregon?
Oregon's a 6-point favorite at home, over under 69.5.
You know, my model has Oregon by 1.4 points. I'm really tempted to go against my model. I've been pretty enamored with UCLA this year. Some of the other, you know, models I've run outside of this one, you know, DTR is having a great season. I'm also a little partial to Zach Charbonnet, former Michigan Wolverine, having a pretty solid year as well. But yeah, I'll stick to my model on this one. Oregon by 1.4 points. I'll put 5 confidence points on that.
I'm going to join you on Oregon, Bill. I actually like them by a little bit more than you. Kind of, I like them by exactly what Vegas does. Give me Oregon for by 6 in this game. I think it's very intriguing with the Chip Kelly storyline. This is a UCLA team that I have power rated number 28, Oregon number 15. So I do think Oregon is the better team. They are playing at home in this game, 67% win probability. I think they're going to get it done. UCLA's had a fantastic season so far, coming in number 8 in the most deserving rankings. The Bruins still have a 5% chance to finish the regular season undefeated. But like I said, I favor them to go down in this one, as well as their game against USC later. So I'm very excited about this game. Number 5 game of the slate by my numbers. Give me Oregon. I'm taking them with 8 confidence points. King?
Oregon by 6 seems like a little much to me. It isn't Eugene. Game day is going to be out there. The Ducks have really played well. I think Bo Nix is playing arguably his best football of his career. Should be a lot of points in this one. Oregon, 9th total offense nationally. UCLA, 12th. I think this is going to come down to UCLA, they've been pretty good at stopping the run. If Oregon can control the tempo, get that run game going, I think they're going to be able to win this game. But on the other side, I'm a little bit worried about Oregon's secondary. They're 113th against the pass. Dorian Thompson Robinson, he's been good this year. He's been playing good football, but I'm going to take the Ducks at home with 3 confidence points.
All right, guys, that's 4 for 4. We are all on the Oregon Ducks. I'm the most confident with 8 points, taking them by the spread. 8 points this week for me. Bill is on Oregon for 5. Kinger taking the Ducks for 3. We're moving to the Big 12, and what I have is the absolute best matchup of this entire week. King, what does Vegas think about Texas going on the road to Oklahoma State?
Texas, 6.5-point favorite on the road, over under 62.
So I like Texas in this game. I am going to take them for 6 confidence points. My numbers like the Longhorns by 5. Guys, Texas is a very intriguing team. From a power rating standpoint, they're number 6 in the country. I had them number 4 last week, actually. A couple teams jumped up above them. Texas slid back just a little bit. I now have them at number 6. Oklahoma State, number 13. So these are two of the 3 best teams in the Big 12 by my numbers. In terms of looking forward, though, I think Texas is actually the favorite in the Big 12 by my numbers to not just make the conference championship game, but then to go on and win it. I have Texas right now resume ranked number 16, Oklahoma State right in front of them at number 15. Two really, really good teams. Oklahoma State coming off their first loss of the year, a heartbreaker in overtime at TCU. A game that, man, it felt like they really had it. They were winning by multiple scores for the majority of it. TCU comes in, gets it done. Texas didn't look as good as they have in previous games against Iowa State this week, sneaking one out. Some controversy there. We talked about it, King, on the recap show on Sunday night. But they got the job done. They won against Iowa State. My numbers really like Texas in this game. Like I said, it's a 64% win probability, a 21% chance for Texas to win out. And if they're sitting there, not including the conference championship game, if they're sitting there, though, as, 11-2, Big 12 champions, they would be an attractive team to the selection committee if we get chaos around the country. We have never had a two-loss team make the college football playoff. I do not think Texas, as a two-loss team, would make the college football playoff this year, but if there's enough carnage around the country, Texas would be in prime position to be that first team, given that their two losses were without their starting quarterback, and one of them was by 1 point to Alabama, who's a very, very good team, and the other one was in overtime at Texas Tech. So Texas is an intriguing team. This is a very intriguing matchup. Give me the Longhorns. I'm taking them for 6. Kinger, what about you?
Yeah, I think Spencer Sanders is going to play. He's dealing with that shoulder injury. Played last week. They were unsure if he was going to go. I'm assuming he's going to play, and this is going to be a tough test for Texas on the road for that defense. This is a top five scoring offense. Oklahoma State has the players on the outside to really test that secondary. But that being said, I think this is a bounce back week for Quinn Ewers. We talked about they really haven't looked as good. Ewers definitely did not look as good last week as he had previously. This Oklahoma State defense, pretty poor. 126 nationally against the pass. I think Texas is going to be able to do enough. They're going to score a lot of points. And ultimately, I think that defense will make some stops when they need to. So give me the Longhorns for 6.
Bill?
Yeah, I mean, all the models absolutely love Texas this year. My model here is no different. It thinks they're going to win pretty big. It has them by 12.8 points. Wow. So well outside of the spread. We'll see if that stands. But yeah, I mean, they're looking really good. A huge win in the Red River Shootout. You know, I think last week, you know, maybe a little bit of a hangover game. You know, Iowa State can, you know, pull a tough game here or there. So yeah, I think they have a big game this week. And yeah, I'm putting 10 confidence points on that.
All right. Love to hear it. So we are all in agreement to recap this one on Texas. Bill using his 10-pointer, Kinger and I both on the Longhorns for 6. King, we'll start with you on this one. We're going back to the American. We have Memphis going on the road to Tulane. What does Vegas think, King? And what do you think about Memphis at Tulane?
Top 25 AP ranked Tulane. They're 6-1. Not sure if that schedule really deserves that, but they're 7-point favorite on the road this week, over under 56.5. And I like Tulane a lot this week. They've had some battles, but they've, you know, beat K-State, had a grinder against ECU a couple weeks ago. They've had some good momentum, and Memphis has struggled two close losses the last couple weeks. They're going to be hungry, but I think Tulane's too much at home. I don't have a whole lot in this one. I just ultimately think Tulane's the better team. I think they have the better defense. Give me Tulane for 10 confidence points.
All right, there goes Kinger's 10. Bill, what do you make of this big-time American clash with undefeated in conference Tulane?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is another one going to be closer than the spread indicates, or at least my model does. You know, if these picks go wrong, don't blame me, blame the model. But yeah, it has, you know, Tulane over Memphis by 1.5. So yeah, I think we have a real close one this week. I'll put 6 confidence points on that.
Bill, my wife, she's an entrepreneur. She has a small business. She makes custom and homemade apparel and accessories. So basically, she does screen printing, sewing, embroidery, whatever. I'm going to have her make a shirt. If this is wrong, don't blame me, blame the model. Because, man, I need to just I need to trademark that. I need to copyright that. I'm stealing it from you. I'm going to use that.
Yeah, it works.
Don't blame me, blame the model. I didn't.
Hey, man, I just put the numbers in, man. I don't, you know, it's a black box. I don't know what it's going to spit out.
It is. I love that, Bill. I can absolutely relate. That's why it's so funny to me when I get people coming at me. And this is We Hate Your Team, right? So Kinger and I have tried. Kinger, I feel like we've gotten soft as the year has gone along. We really came out of the gate strong with the hate. We've softened a little bit. It's you know, I think we're pretty nice guys, generally speaking, as long as, you know, you're being nice to us. And so we've lost a little bit of that hate, but we need to bring that back. When people come at me and they're like, why do you hit my team? Why do you hit my team? Like that. I'm like, guys, I didn't even know what the model said about you until you brought it to my attention. So clearly I don't have a vendetta against your team. It's just the way the model goes. So anyway, I got to pick this game still. I'm taking Tulane as well. So all three of us going to be on Tulane. I'm taking them for 7 confidence points. I like Tulane in this game by 5.5. It's a 66% win probability. I have Tulane as the number 51 power rated team, Memphis number 62. Tulane is still undefeated in the American. I have them, Kinger, you said they're a top 25 team in the AP. I didn't even know that. I don't pay too much attention to the AP, as you know.
They took the boiler spot this week, Kelly.
So I would agree with you there. You said you didn't think that their 6-1 record was deserving of it. I looked at my most deserving king. I have Tulane number 28. So it's actually not the most egregious ranking that I've ever seen the AP do. I mean, a couple spots here or there. But yeah, to have Purdue unranked and Tulane in there ranked, I would disagree with that in terms of a deservedness and what these teams have accomplished, despite Tulane having a better record, as we said. So anyway, I'll be taking Tulane as well. So to recap this one, we're all on Tulane. Kinger taking Tulane for 10. I'm on them for 7. Bill on Tulane for 6. Bill, we're going to start with you here. We got a matchup of independent teams, at least for one more year. Both these teams, I think, moving to conferences as early as next year. We have BYU going on the road to Liberty. King, what does Vegas make of this matchup? And Bill, what's your model think? Don't blame Bill. What's the model think?
BYU's a 6.5-point favorite, over under 58.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of surprised the spread is so large on this one. You know, Liberty, 6-1. I know, you know, they're saying the schedule hasn't been the greatest, hasn't played a lot of strong teams. They did play Wake pretty close early in the year. You know, BYU hasn't really looked that great. Yeah, they played Notre Dame close a couple weeks ago, but from what we know about Notre Dame now, not looking so impressive, blown out by Oregon earlier in the year. My model has actually Liberty winning this one by 0.7 points. So I'll go with Liberty for 3 confidence points.
All right, we're going to have our first disagreement. I am going to take BYU, reluctantly. Again, I'm going to blame it on the model. I'm taking Bill's line. I'm blaming this on the model. Guys, King, we talked about it on the Sunday night show. BYU was the team that I hated from the Group of Five. You could say, hey, Kelly, they're not Group of Five. They're in the Independents. I know, but they're not a Power Five team yet. I call them Group of Five. They were the team that I hated from the Group of Five this past week. They got their doors absolutely blown off at home against Arkansas. Arkansas is a good team, but my goodness, did BYU plummet in my power ratings this week. They are down to number 53. Liberty's number 76, though, so I still like BYU in this game. I like them by about 4 points, so I'm taking BYU. I don't feel great about it, given what we just saw from them, but if we're ever going to get a bounce back from this BYU team, I would hope it would be after a game like we just saw against Arkansas this past weekend. Give me BYU. I'm taking them for 5 confidence points. Kinger, we need you to break the tie.
I don't feel overly confident in it, but I'm taking BYU as well. The rails have fallen off a little bit. We'll see if they really spiral out of control this week. Liberty 6-1, but like Bill said, not overly impressed with what I've seen from them thus far. They're going to try and run the ball. They don't really have strong QB play. BYU horrible against the run. 114th nationally, almost 5 yards per carry. They're going to have to try and limit that this week if they want to have any chance to win. But I'm going to take Jaren Hall. I'm going to take Puka Nacua on that offense. I still think they have better talent. It's going to be a close one. I do think this will be closer than the spread indicates as well. But I'm taking BYU for 5 confidence points.
We have our first disagreement. I am so excited about that. We've got Kinger and I both on BYU for 5. Bill's model taking Liberty for 3. King, let's start with you on this one. It's the only game in the Big Ten that we are picking officially this week. It is huge for both of these programs. Both of them absolutely need a win. Minnesota going on the road to Penn State. King, what's Vegas think? And what do you think about this big-time Big Ten matchup?
Penn State's a 4.5-point favorite at home, over under 44.5. And we're talking about another team that could be spiraling. That's Minnesota. Have looked very poor the last 2 Big Ten matchups. They're not getting good QB play. Tanner Morgan has been bad these last few weeks. They don't really have any pass-catching weapons on the outside. Very one-dimensional team. And Tanner Morgan left the game last week. Again, I don't know if he's going to play this week. I'm sure he will. I think it's trending that way. but there is still some concern around his health. I don't think this Minnesota defense is quite as good as it was hyped up to be at the beginning of this season. Tough loss for Penn State on the road last week, but whiteout night game in Happy Valley. I expect a big bounce back week for them. So Penn State hasn't covered in the last three games. I'm going to take them this week -4.5 at home. I think they cover that, and I'm going to take them for 9 confidence points in the pick.
Big pick there for King. I'm going to join you on the side, King. Penn State is the better team here, I think. I've got them with 3 confidence points. Guys, this is the number 3 matchup of the slate this week. I think it's going to be a low-key, really, really good game. Actually, I guess it's not low-key, but I think this is a very good game because I think Minnesota is underrated by the national media. I've got Minnesota power rated as the number 18 team in the country. Most deserving ranking is number 38. So this is not a Minnesota team with their 4-2 record, losses to Purdue and Illinois back-to-back with a bye week in between. This is not a team that I think is very deserving at this point, but still a team that my numbers from a predictive standpoint really, really like. The problem is they're going on the road, and I've got Penn State as the number 14 power-rated team. Ironically, they are also the number 14 most deserving team after picking up their first loss of the season this past week in a game that was just, oof, it was ugly for Penn State. There's no two ways about that. I've got Penn State with a 3% chance to finish the regular season 11-1. That would mean that they get it done here against Minnesota. Next week is a big game. Hopefully Penn State's not getting caught looking ahead to Ohio State. They welcome the Buckeyes next week at Indiana, home to Maryland, at Rutgers, home to Michigan State. So a lot left to play for Penn State. They cannot afford another slip-up if they want to have a chance to win the Big Ten East. I like the Nittany Lions in a bounce back here. I hope they're not looking ahead to Ohio State, because if they are, Minnesota is good enough to get them, and they will, guys. In the Big Ten West, specifically, in terms of my projections and where I think it's going to shake out, Minnesota currently the number 3 projected team behind both Purdue and Illinois. Minnesota has lost to both of those teams, so I think their chances of winning the Big Ten West are nearly nothing, since they would have lost the tie right now to both of those teams. So Minnesota just trying to get to 10 wins, if at all possible. My numbers give that a 10% chance of happening. So give me Penn State for 3. Bill, what about you?
Yeah, so I'm really torn on this one. I'm actually going to go against my model. I'm going to go against both of you. A few things. You know, number one, yeah, Minnesota's shown some flashes. They struggled recently. You know, their star running back's been a little banged up. You know, Ibrahim, if he's healthy, you know, I think that can make a huge difference. Penn State, don't really know what to make of them. Not a very strong, you know, strength of the schedule until, you know, what happened last week against Michigan. I would like to think that, you know, Michigan is just a very elite team. But I don't
they
know.
Are.
And you know, Clifford got banged up at the end of last week's game. His status is uncertain going into this game. It sounds like an injury to his shoulder. So it's possible that Allar gets extended time and maybe even the start. So my model actually has Penn State by 0.4 points. I'm going to actually go against that. So this is a pick I can be blamed for. I'll place 1 confident point on Minnesota for this game.
All right. If it goes wrong, you have the permission to blame Bill on this one. Not for me. If Penn State loses, I'll blame him model. To recap this one, we've got another disagreement. Kinger and I both on Penn State. Kinger for 9. I'm on the Nittany Lions for 3. Bill on the Golden Gophers for 1. I'll take this next game first, guys. We're going back to the American yet again. Kings, when's the last time we picked 3 American games in one podcast? I don't know
this,
if we've
this is probably a first.
Yeah,
this is probably a first.
I don't know if we've ever done it. I'm very confident in this game, though. That's why I want to take it first. We have UCF going on the road to East Carolina, King. What's Vegas think about this?
UCF's a 5-point favorite on the road, over under 65.
I don't think that's a big enough number for UCF. I think they're going to cover 5. My numbers like them in this game by 8.5. I'm actually a little bit worried, guys, about what my model thinks of UCF at this point. I do not think it's an overreaction to last week's game. They absolutely blew the doors off Temple. They scored 70 points. Like, it was over before it started. But UCF did rise all the way up to number 16 in my power rating. So my eyebrows raised a little bit, but then I started looking around at some other power ratings. Other people have them in the top 20 or top 15 as well. So I think I'm kind of in line with the market, maybe, even though it does make me a little uneasy. I'm taking UCF in this game. I've got East Carolina number 60. Give me the Knights, and I'm taking them for 10 confidence points. Bill, what about you?
Yeah, so my model's making me a little bit anxious. I've got a lot of tight games, a lot of tight picks this week. I think the only game out of the 10 I have the spread being covered is that Texas-Oklahoma State game. Although you look at last week, I think somebody tweeted out a statistic almost like so many games last week. I don't think hardly any of them covered. So maybe we have another repeat of that this week, and my model is correct. But yeah, that said, you know, I do like UCF a lot in this game. I have them winning over ECU by 4.6. I'll put 9 confidence points on that.
Kinger, you joining us?
I'm joining it, but I think quietly ECU's scrappy. They've been in a lot of close games this year, and as good as that UCF offense has looked in time, it's heavily reliant on the run game. And John Rhys Plumlee had his moments, but I think they've stalled a little bit this year, and ECU's got a good rush defense. I think they're going to be able to try and make UCF as one-dimensional as possible, but ultimately I think UCF is the better team here top to bottom. ECU defense, I don't know if they're going to be able to hang in there all game, so I'm taking the Knights with 7 confidence points.
All right, to recap this one, we are all on UCF. I'm the most confident for 10. Bill taking the Knights for 9. Kinger on UCF for 7. Brings us to our final game of the Pick'em, guys. We are going back to the Big 12. We've got Kansas State going on the road to TCU. Bill, we'll let you start. King, what's Vegas think of this crucial game in the Big 12? Aren't they all, though, at this point? I mean, the Big 12 is such a crapshoot. It's an incredibly fun
every
conference.
Week.
Incredibly fun conference to watch, King. What's Vegas think about this?
TCU's a 3.5-point favorite at home, over under 55.5.
Bill, kick us off.
Yeah, you know, I'm really excited to watch this matchup. I think this will be a good game this week. I'm really excited to see some of the quarterback play. You know, Duggan's had a really solid year, really, you know, phenomenal year this year for TCU. Adrian Martinez, go figure, gets out of the tutelage of Scott Frost, and, you know, not that he's an Heisman candidate or anything, but, you know, looks a lot better than he did at Nebraska. So, yeah, I'm really, really excited to check this game out this weekend. My model has TCU winning by 2.5 points. I'll give that 7 confidence points.
Kinger, what about you?
I think this is going to be a close one, and TCU's just been finding ways to get it done, but this is the best defense that they have played this year. K-State absolutely ate them up last year, dominated at home. I think Felix Nuteke, their All-American DN, had 4 or 5 sacks, somewhere around that. They absolutely ate. This is going to be the toughest challenge for that TCU offensive line, and they've played well. K-State offense, who would have never guessed? They're the only team in the FBS without an interception this year with all of Adrian Martinez's turnover problems at Nebraska. I don't think anybody would have guessed we would be at this point. TCU defense gives up a lot of yards, you know, 140, 150 on the ground last week to OK State. Kansas State's going to try and do what they do and pound the rock. I expect them to have some success running the ball. This is going to be a one-score game, absolutely. I think it's going to be close, but I'm taking TCU. I'm taking Duggan to find a way to score enough points. Give me TCU with 2 confidence points.
I'm going to join you guys on TCU. I'm pretty confident in this one. At least my model is 9 confidence points on TCU. I have this as the number 4 game this week. I like TCU by about 6 points. I have TCU power rated number 11 right now. Kansas State coming in number 20. So with TCU being at home as well, they're getting that baked in. This is going to be a primetime game. I'm super excited to watch it. In terms of most deserving ranking, guys, and we're getting to that point of the season where those rankings really do mean something, that there really is some meat to them. TCU right now, if I had an AP vote, I would have TCU number 3 in the entire country. They are not the 3rd best team. They are the 3rd most deserving team. Kansas State, though, number 2 in the Big 12, behind only TCU, coming in at number 12 in the most deserving rankings. These are 2 teams that have had phenomenal seasons to this point. The only slip-up for Kansas State, that game against Tulane, I really don't know what happened. It seems like an anomaly now at this point. But these are 2 teams still undefeated in the Big 12. As I'm projecting forward in the Big 12 race, guys, I talked earlier about Texas. They're the team that I think is going to win the Big 12. The conference championship game, I expect them to have the most regular season wins as well in the Big 12. Right behind Texas, though, TCU coming in at number 2, Kansas State coming in at number 3. That my numbers are baking in an assumption that TCU has a 67% chance to win this game. If Kansas State wins this game, I am fairly confident they will now be projected as that number 2 team in the Big 12 standings at the end of the year. This game has massive implications, not just for right now, but for December. So I'm very much looking forward to this game. I do like TCU. Again, like I said, I like TCU by about 6 points, which is not all that much, but because of all these other games that we picked this week being projected to be even closer by my model, that's how I get to 9 confidence points. Going to be a fantastic game. To recap this one, we are all taking the Horned Frogs. I am the most confident with 9. Bill says 7. Kinger taking TCU 4-2. That wraps up the official pick segment, guys. This was absolutely awesome. Kinger, you and I in agreement on all 10 games with varying levels of confidence, of course.
It's been a while since we've had that, Kelly.
It has. I don't know if we've had it yet this year. Maybe once before. But varying levels of confidence, so we almost assuredly will not tie. Bill went against us on 2 games. He took Liberty over BYU. He took Minnesota over Penn State. Bill, next thing we do is best bets. So Kinger's going to provide some of his. I'll give what my model thinks about them. And then if you've got any best bets that you want to touch on, Bill, we certainly want to hear from those. Kinger, I think we also need an update. And actually, I don't even know how it's going since we haven't touched base on this in a while. How are the picks going this year? How close are we to getting back to even money? We turning things around a little bit?
I think, we're turning around a little bit. I think I'm 5 or 6 games under 500. I got to update the spreadsheet still from last week, but I'll give a formal update on that this week. I got 4 plays right now. That's definitely going to expand. First one I mentioned that you don't like, I am on Penn State -4.5 at home this week. I'm also on UCLA +6 on the road. I anticipate that being a very close football game. Kelly, what's your line on there?
My rounded number is Oregon -6. Oh, gosh, my unrounded number is Oregon. Oregon, 5.95. So, Kinger, I would go with you by – Bill, you talked earlier about 0.001 points or whatever. I'm on this one by 0.05, so there we go.
Third game, I'm going to take the under 65 in that UCF-ECU game. ECU's a scrappy team. That's a number 2 ranked rushing defense. I think they're going to try and make UCF one-dimensional like I talked about. UCF good on the defensive side of the ball as well. ECU had some success on offense, but I think that's more of a low-scoring, grinded-out game. I don't think both those teams get to 30 this week.
Let me come back to that one, King. What was it, 65?
65.
Let me come back to it. Go ahead with your next one.
Last one. I'm on Maryland -13.5 at home versus Northwestern this week. I think they're due for a big week. Northwestern offense and defense, both not very good on either side of the ball. I feel like Maryland's due for kind of a prove-it week. They're going to hit that over-under. They're going to tie their season win total, hopefully, this week with that 6 number that I had early in the season. I like them to handle Northwestern at home pretty easily this week.
What'd you say the spread was on that, King?
13.5.
And Maryland's at home?
Yep.
I'm just double checking that. Maryland's at home to Northwestern. Jeez, Bill, I want to get your model's take on this. My model has Maryland in this game by 22.5, King. I think there is massive value in that. I'm thinking I'm missing something. Bill, what's your model think about Northwestern and Maryland? What's the projected spread in there?
My model has Maryland covering 15.4 points.
Wow. So I'm just... I think I'm just much lower on Northwestern maybe than the public or the general consensus. I'm looking here at Northwestern. I've got them power rated number 104. It's just not good right now for Northwestern. They're looking at only a 34% chance to win another game this season, at least one game. So it is just not looking good for Northwestern. But okay, good to know that I'm maybe an outlier there, but we're both with you on that one, King. And King, remind me, what was the other one? Sorry, one more time. This
over-under, it was under 65 in that ECU UCF game.
I would lean under again. My over-under is not as good as my sides, but I do have that under. I'm projecting right around 59 in that game. So there you go, King.
Okay, we're in agreement, 3 of the 4. I'll take it.
Hey, we will take that. That's good. Bill, do you have any best bets you'd like to add or anything else you'd like to say?
Yeah, you know, I got a couple. You know, strangely enough, my model's doing pretty decently against the spread this year. Just the other week, I came in first place in the computer pick'em contest that I run. Which is surprising to me because I don't actually train to beat the spread. I train to get the closest final margin as possible. People think it's crazy when they talk to me, and I tell them I don't really pay attention to betting models.
Bill, I have to jump in here. You and I think we are long-lost brothers, man. I am the exact same way. I've told King before, the second I stopped chasing the spread, when I first joined Twitter, I was trying to get out some best bets, handicapping, all that stuff. The second I stopped chasing the spread was the second I came back to loving college football. I am with you. I am trying to optimize my model to have a minimal absolute error. That's what I'm going for. And on the season so far, it's been very good. I'm at about 12.28 points per game absolute error, which compares very favorably to a lot of the models you're going to see on Prediction Tracker. People are going to say, well, Kelly, you're not verified, though, because you're not posting all your picks. You're right. I'm not. I'm perfectly fine with that. I'm tracking it. I'm keeping tabs. I'm doing what I need to do. I am not putting every single game's picks out there because I know how that ends for me. I start sweating Akron and Bowling Green on a Tuesday night with a spread of 16.5 because I'm giving it as a best bet. No, I'm not doing that again. I've been there. I've done that. People can either believe me or not when it comes to absolute error. Sorry for the rant, Bill, but I had to jump in there because when people say you're crazy for not chasing the spread and all you care about is absolute error, you and I are the same. You can tell them. Really, Kelly's with me, so come at both of us.
Yeah. Heck yeah, man. No, that's nice. And do you get badgered for picks all the time, too, all up in your DMs?
Yeah, so I've made it pretty clear to people that I'm not really in that business. And I do get DMs, and people do ask me for spreads on games of teams they like. And I do put out, hey, my projected spread in this game is this, or I like this team by that. Like, I do share that when asked most times, but I do not publish all. Like, this week we got, like, 53, I think, FBS games. I don't publish all those like I used to because I'm not going to be sitting there on Saturday afternoon going through my spreadsheet trying to figure out, oh, shoot, this was my best bet. And now I'm not even focusing on Alabama-Tennessee because I'm over here looking at UL Monroe against Western Kentucky. And it's no, we're not doing that anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy like how much, especially like getting into July and August, how many people show up in my DMs, show up in my email. And I'm like, hey, there's better pickers against the spread than me. You're barking up the wrong tree. Maybe not so this year, but because I like I said, I'm doing decently against the spread. But yeah, since I run this computer pick'em contest, I get people like, okay, who has a good model? Because a lot of the top models are actually beating like SP Plus and a lot of these, you know, big time things. So yeah, I'll get people like, oh, who has a good, I'm like, well, look at the scoreboard. You know, the leaderboard's public. Speaker, okay, can you give me their picks? Are there picks? No, I don't show other people's picks. They might make them public. You can talk to them about that. But yeah, man, I'm not in the business of sharing my picks. I'm not in the business of sharing other people's picks. Hey, if you want to build your own model, I have some good tutorials for you. You want to learn how to do that? Check out my blog. That's that's kind of been my talking point.
Love that. That is fantastic, and I'm right there with you all the way, Bill. That is absolutely phenomenal. I know Kinger's going to start doing that. He said this offseason. Sorry, this summer. Kinger's going to be jumping.
I mean, unless we turn it around here in the gambling aspect in the second half of this season, that may be my new strategy because we need some help, boys.
It'll turn around, King. You're a proven winner. You've done it over time.
Plenty of time.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Bill, I'm sorry, I sidetracked the conversation, so my apologies. Were you playing, or did you want to give any of those best bets or picks, or no, since you're not doing that?
I mean, I can. I mean, like I said, my model's doing reasonably well. Again, don't blame me if you lose all your money. Blame the model. Disclaimer there. You know, there's a few games that stick out looking at my submission for the computer pick'em this week. You know, first that looking at is a Big Ten matchup, Indiana-Rutgers. Looks like Vegas currently has Rutgers by a field goal. My model likes Indiana by 4.4 points in that Big East matchup there.
who's at home in that one?
Rutgers.
So you got Indiana at Rutgers. My numbers like Indiana by half a point in that game.
Yeah. So there we go. Both going against Vegas on that.
Take it.
Another game, you know, sticking to these Midwest matchups, going to some Maction. I've got, you know, Vegas has Ball State favored by 2.5 over Eastern Michigan. I've got, you know, my model likes Eastern winning that outright by a field goal.
Who's at home in that one? Give me 1 second. I got to plug it in. I got Michigan. I've got Ball State by 3.5. I'm right there with you again. Bill, I like this.
Look at you guys. All right,
man. Let's.
King,
yeah, man. Let's
hop on some of these, King, if we're both in agreement over here.
I might have to. It's been kind of a tradition to take the guest pick,
yeah.
So I think I have to add those two to the card.
I like it.
Yeah, well, I'll give you one more. See if we can go three for three on agreement here, Kelly.
Give me,
I've got
home away on it too as you're going.
Oh man. Okay, let me look. Which one? I just missed it. Okay, Pitt, Louisville at home. Vegas has Louisville favored by 2.5. I've got the other direction. Pitt favored by 2.3.
Ooh, okay. I like Louisville by 4 in that game.
Oh, okay.
I would be going. I'd be going Louisville in that one. So, Kinger, you can decide which one you're going there. But definitely with you on the Indiana to win it outright and Ball State to win by, was it more than a field goal? Is that, or what was the line on that one, did you say? I like it by 3.5. So it was Ball State to win that one.
Yeah, yeah.
Ball State's a 2.5 point favorite currently.
Okay.
Yeah, 2.5 point favorite.
So I have my 3.5. So, all right. Well, Bill, we really appreciate you coming on. This has been fantastic. Again, remind everybody where they can find you on Twitter as well as your website.
Yeah, absolutely. So on Twitter, you can find me at CFB_data. That's important. Remember the underscore, please. The website is collegefootballdata.com. Check it out. You know, appreciate you guys having me on. This has been a lot of fun. Very much appreciate it. Loved it.
100%, Bill. You were fantastic. We appreciate the underscore here. We can be found on Twitter at @WeHateYourTeam_. Somehow at @WeHateYourTeam was taken by an account that has like, I don't know, 60 followers or something. I almost DM'd him like, hey, you want to delete this account? But obviously didn't end up doing that. King and I just wanted to get it up and running. So we put the underscore on there. So yeah, appreciate the underscore. Appreciate you, Bill. This has been absolutely fantastic. Make sure you check out Bill on Twitter. Make sure you check him out on his website if you have not already. We always appreciate great guests. Bill absolutely checks that box. So thank you all for listening. We really appreciate it. Until next time, enjoy week 8 of the 2022 college football season.